From emerging and advancing photonics technologies to roundtable discussions with industry experts and talks with scientists and students entrenched in the furrows of photonics and optics research and everything in between. Join us for Following the Photons, a photonics podcast, hosted by Justine Murphy, multimedia director with Endeavor Business Media's Design and Engineering Group. We'll take you on a deep dive into the realm of one of the most exciting and fastest advancing industries in the world. Hello there, I'm Justine Murphy with Laser Focus World. Thank you for joining us for another edition of Following the Photons. Today I'm talking with Dr. Pierre-Marie Paul, who is VP and Director of the Advanced Laser Solutions Business Unit at Amplitude Lasers, an internationally reaching company that designs, manufactures, and commercializes femtosecond lasers and touts a full range of ultrafast laser products. He joined the company early on, with many years of research experience under his belt in various realms of laser photonics.
The company was probably 6 person at the beginning, and I joined the company at that time as a laser engineer. From laser engineer, I went to be R&D manager. Then I went back to the US in a subsidiary that we acquired, which is called the Continuum. And I did business development over there for 4 years in California. And then I came back 5 years ago to take the lead of the activity in the facility here in Paris.
And how's that going? Are you enjoying that?
Yes. It's less technical or technological, but I'm enjoying it. It's a lot of work and a lot of problems. Usually you only deal with problems, not really with successes. So it's a bit, it's another perspective, but I like it.
What are some things that you guys are working on right now?
So right now, I would say that our focus are twofold, two directions, which are linked, but not totally. So one direction is the development of high energy laser systems. So the two things are linked because basically we are trying to combine high energy and high average power. So that means laser with high energy, but at high repetition rate. And the goal of these developments are twofold. So the one is for fusion. So as you know, there has been a demonstration at NIF a year ago demonstrating the net energy gain for laser fusion, so using lasers. And this has drastically changed the landscape. So it was really short period of time. This has changed a lot, the landscape. And we see now a lot of interest into that, at least at the research level. And a lot of investment. And Amplitude is quite well positioned for that because we kind of anticipated that in a way with a program called Eli Alps 5 years ago, maybe, where we develop a unique technology combining high energy and high repetition rate. So we develop a product called Premium Light, capable of delivering about 80 joules at 10 hertz in the infrared. So it's about 800, it is exactly 800 watts of average power, which is quite unique. So we deliver two of those lasers to be used at the facility in Eli. And the technology used, the cooling technology used in these lasers are really what is needed to scale up the energies up to kilojoule level, right? And this is what is needed for fusion. And so we have a program, European program called THRILL, where the goal is to bring this brick, this laser head, compatible to kilojoule level energy. So kilojoule in the nanosecond regime and also picosecond regime. So the amplifier heads are compatible in both regimes. And this is really what is needed for or at least what is required by most of the scientists for laser fusion. So we are pushing this technology forward in this program, and I think we will be in a good position to bring fusion to life with other partners, of course, and that's one of the main direction that we are working on right now.
Okay.
And the second direction is a little bit the same, but it's mostly pushing the energy of our high repetition rate lasers. So the high repetition rate lasers, so it's high because it's in the range of 100 hertz or a kilohertz, so it's not a megahertz lasers, right? And the idea is to get to joule level, 1 joule or several joules. This type of lasers are in the femtosecond regime, so it's mostly femtosecond lasers based on two technologies, so titanium sapphire and ytterbium. We are working on both technologies in parallel because we strongly believe, and this is a choice that has been made by Amplitude since the beginning, and it's also the unicity of Amplitude is to master all these different technologies. because we believe that in a development, you have two phases. There's one phase, which is more the exploration, so the R&D phase, where you need a flexible tool, right? And TISAF is very good for that. You are very flexible in burst duration, in the repetition rate and energy and so on. And so it is very good to explore an application. And once you have set the parameters of your application, using a more, let's say, a technology more dedicated to exploitation, what we call exploitation, like Ethereum, is to make the product, basically, being used in a facility, in hospitals, or in a factory. Ethereum is very good for that. So we are working with both in parallel. And these applications are directed towards what we call secondary sources. So secondary sources are sources using femtosecond laser in general, high-power femtosecond lasers, to generate radiations. Secondary sources of radiation, such as X-rays, gamma rays, or secondary sources of particles, like electrons or protons. And there are different applications doing that. When you talk about X-rays, it's mainly imaging. So imaging of large structures, bridge or pipes or these kind of things, or even human parts. We have a program in the Aquitaine region in France to develop an application for mammography, so cancer diagnosis. Using X-ray laser-based imaging. There are other applications such as non-destructive testing, so this imaging of large structures. We also have a program in France with another company to develop these applications mainly towards large structures like nuclear plants and this kind of, to detect breaches, these kind of things. Other applications are cancer treatment. When you generate particles of electrons and protons with a process called flash therapy. So using lasers as well. And we have different programs on that as well. So this what we call secondary sources are most of them based on the same laser architecture. So this is why they are put together. And then you have a second module where you generate either the X-rays, either the electrons, either the gamma rays. This is the second most focus that we have right now.
What are some challenges that you, from your perspective, that you are seeing in the industry that maybe some of these things that you guys are working on are meeting those challenges?
Well, I would say that the biggest challenge that we have, so apart from having the competencies and people working on the project, is the financing of the project, because all these developments are, let's say, money consuming. So we are looking obviously for partnerships, getting agencies to finance those programs. So you need partners to do that. You need to align your strategy with other partners. So these are building the consortium are quite complicated. It's time consuming, and sometimes you don't succeed. So it's a bit frustrating. Mm-hmm. I would say that, yeah, as I mentioned before, this is a world of innovation, and innovation is it costs a lot of money. So you need mm-hmm. to invest in the R&D all the time, constantly, to be on top of the innovation. So that's the main challenge. Oh, we can't stop R&D and innovation.
Right, because the industry is not stopping either. So
no, it's not stopping.
And have to keep up.
we need to keep up, and we need to be the best all the time to be attractive for customers, but also partners, investors, and so mm-hmm. on. So.
Right. And so from your view, from what you're in right now, what's the current state of the industry?
You know, I would say that the industry is very active and it's growing, slowly growing. The three last Nobel Prize are related to laser and photonics, right? So to me, this is really a sign that this sector is recognized as essential, and it's a very big promise for the future. What we see is that the investment are constantly growing. So it's not a boom, right? But we see a constant investment in lasers and photonics industries. And what we also see is that there are more and more players coming in. So that means it's attractive for other people, right?
Yeah.
And the competition is getting very intense at all level of the company, on the industrial side, but also on the scientific side. But in all cases, what we see is that the future is bright for this industry because there are more and more technologies coming from the photonics sector being used in various applications. I call them real life applications, so out of the lab, I would say. Of course, the research activity is still very important, but more and more we use technologies from photonics in real life applications.
Right. There are some aspects of the industry, some realms that are having some trouble getting people in, but you just were talking yes. about that's competitive now for you.
Yes, yes. It's still a small community, right? When we talk about photonics right. and the competencies, and I would say that COVID has a big impact on that. The competencies are very limited and people are really struggling to get the good people working, good talent, basically. Mm-hmm. So the battle for talent is very tough.
So if someone came up to you and said, I'm really interested in joining this industry and getting involved, what advice would you give that person? Because I'm sure there's so much more to know than just, you know, go to school, get this degree, do this.
Having the technical skills is not necessary. So it depends a little bit on the work. But to be honest, having some technical skills on laser matter interaction is always a good thing. Right. Mm-hmm. Because these are things that you don't have to learn. But it's not a prerequisite. What we are looking for, these are people who are able to learn, people who are autonomous, and people who are creative, because there are still a lot of things to do, right? Yeah. To find, to test, to try. So I think that the main advice I would say is to be curious, try to learn, to see new things, to test, to not to be too academic, because it's really a world of innovation. We are in a cutting edge industry. Things are improving every day. Every day there are new discoveries, new technologies, and you really need to be curious of learning and trying and not being too academic and doing only what you are told to do, because otherwise it's not gonna work in this industry. Being curious is the most important thing, I guess.
Yeah, that's great advice. What do you see for the future? What are your thoughts on that? Where do you see not only, I guess, the industry overall, but also from your perspective, the realm that you're in?
I think that what we see is a pivotal moment, in a sense that before, what I call the real life applications were using smaller lasers, like small lasers with high repetition rates. You have plenty of those in factories in Asia or in the medical sector as well. Are using a lot of lasers, smaller lasers. And what we see today is that bigger lasers coupled with artificial intelligence are now considered as a product to be used in real world applications. So this is a little bit a change in the paradigm, right? Because this type of laser, which were considered scientific lasers, are now being pushed to be more industrialized, to be more productified. I don't know if that exists, mm-hmm. Because these are the parameters that are needed also for some of the applications. So it's a different mindset, of course, because people, especially in my let's say perimeter, were mainly doing laser for scientists. So some of the parameters of the laser were less important than the industrial laser. So now we have to change a little bit our mindset and have a lot of functionality. So make understand that people who will use these lasers are not specialists anymore, but people who just need a product that turn on and that works every day and every day of the year and every hour of the day, mm-hmm. Which was a bit different before. Right. So this is what we see is that this type of laser are now considered as can be a product used in an hospital, for instance, or used in a facility, in a large facility, in an industrial site.
That must be exciting by itself. I mean, being able to go from in a research setting that years ago wasn't really attainable for somewhere like a hospital or something like that. That's exciting. Yes.
No, that's very exciting. The job is very different, but this is what is exciting. There's the paradigm shift. And, with all the tools that are being developed now, especially especially thinking about machine learning, you can control parameters that you could not control, especially stability of the laser requirement that is very important for industrial applications. Now you can see that we can foresee high power lasers as stable as smaller lasers, basically.
Well, I'm personally, I'm very excited to see where this industry goes, especially with this, you know, like you said, the real world, the real life applications.
This is what is interesting because, again, with all the applications I've mentioned are, let's say, challenges that our societies are facing, you know, cancer treatment, climate crisis, clean energy production. All these are related to making a better world, basically. Right. So this is very exciting. Yes.
Right. Definitely. Yeah. Well, thank you so much again for talking with me. I really appreciate it. And like I said, I'm really excited to see where all of this goes in the future. And you're a big player in that. So that's fantastic.
Yes. Great. Thank you so much.
That does it for this edition of Following the Photons, a photonics podcast. I'd like to thank our guests for joining me today and sharing their interesting perspectives and expertise. And thank you all for listening. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast feed to keep up with what's happening around the industry and to listen to new and archived episodes. And follow us on social media too. Until next time, keep following the photons.